question for you on the bottom of the sheet here. I haven't been bringing sources on these for it. I just figured it's more of like a question that you can discuss at your Shabbos table type thing, as opposed to a source sheet type of a thing. In Vayelech, we get the last two mitzvahs in the Torah. We have a Sefer Torah, and we get the mitzvah of Hakel. It's actually reversed. Hakel first, and then the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. The mitzvah of Hakel is decidedly less known by people, which is a shame, especially this year, because this is the year for Hakel. The mitzvah is that you, in the year after Shemitah, on the second night of Sukkot, you gather everybody to hear sections from Sefer Devarim read out loud. Historically, who would do that reading? The king, right? It's the king who does it, even though it's not clear in the Psukim that it has to be the king at all. Hashem says to Moshe, like, you do this. Moshe, of course, is not making it into Eretz Yisrael. But we get the idea that it should be the king who's the leader, like Moshe. So that's where it comes from. But like the Rambam does not list Hakel as a king's mitzvah specifically. The Torah, as I said, does not identify the reader explicitly. Were no kings when? When in Torah. Right. I mean, Moshe has status of Melech for certain things, so does Yehoshua. When Reuben and Gad say to Yehoshua, whoever doesn't listen to you is gonna die, right? They're essentially declaring him Melech. Like, that's like the hallmark of a Melech.
I thought Melech was not mentioned in Torah.
Really? Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. No, Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin or Perek Yud Gimel, right, gives you the laws. So I'm to say Melech HaMelech and all the laws of a Melech, having a Sefer Torah, not having too many wives, not having so much gold, not pursuing horses, right? That whole thing is there. And you find mentions of Melech. You find that the bracha that's given to Rivka, was it Rivka? Umlachim mimcha yetzeyu. It's the end of an aliyah. Umlachim mimcha yetzeyu. Kings will emerge from you. Right, so it's one of the imahos. I'm blanking now.
It wasn't Rivka? Because she had Yehuda?
No, Leah has Yehuda. I'm blanking on where it appears. But the point is that you had... You had that. Lo yaser shevet mi Yehuda, mechokek mi ben raglav. You didn't have an actual anointed king until Shaul. That's true. But the concept of melucha is very early in the Torah. It was a nevuah. You're gonna have kings emerge from you. Like there was clearly intent for there to be a melech. But going back to this, the Gemara in Sota takes for granted that this in fact is the king who's doing the reading, and that's understood. I will note that there have been attempts to resurrect it. I think it's done ceremonially in Israel today. They have the president do the reading. Yeah. So presumably President Herzog is going to do it at the Kotel.
Yeah.
So the president, whoever was the president then, would have done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sections from Sefer Devarim. Yeah. The Mishnah tells us. The Mishnah gives us a breakdown of it. It's a Mishnah in Sota Perek Zayin. Also, the Tosefta. It's the year. Right. It's this coming Sukkot. Yeah. So, the Torah says that you gather everybody, and it says specifically ha'anashim v'hanashim v'hataf, men, women, and little kids. And the question is, why are we bringing little kids? Why is that a necessity? Is it just because you can't get a babysitter because everybody's at Hakel? Like, what's...
So
the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara says, laseis sachar lemeviyehem, to reward those who bring them, which sounds circular. Hashem created a mitzvah of bringing the kids so that you will get reward for having brought the kids. It sounds very strange, and the Kli Yakar asks that question. He says, I don't understand what that means. So he gives a very interesting answer. He says, Sukkot is right after Yom Kippur, and we have this idea that the beginning of people's Averos is on Sukkot, because for the 5 days, 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, like, you're busy with mitzvos. Everything you're doing is a mitzvah. So, exactly. So, it's only on Sukkot that Averos can begin. So, one of the goals of Hakel, he says, is for the Jews to gather together and daven to Hashem for forgiveness for the Averos that have begun. So, we can daven for Mechila and say to Hashem, if not in our merit, give it in the merit of these children who have not sinned. It's a very interesting idea. It seems like a little bit of a reach, but that's his approach. But there's another idea that I wanted to focus on, which is that the reward that you're getting, when the Gemara says, in order to give reward for those who bring their children, is not a divine act of reward. You did a good thing, therefore you get such and such. It's a consequence. There is a good result that comes from bringing children to Hakel. So, as one possible explanation of what that is, the Sefer HaChinuch says that Hakel increases our love of Torah. Because we get together and everybody's hearing this, so maybe it will increase love of Torah among your children, because they may not be old enough to comprehend what's being read, but they comprehend my parents are getting together with everybody else in order to hear the Torah. In the same way that it's very valuable for parents to bring their children to a shir, just so that the children can understand my parents learn Torah. Like, that's what they're doing here.
The argument for larger. People bringing their children to shir.
Yes.
There are those that say that they shouldn't, but I'm saying that's...
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what they're going to do there, right? And it depends on what the parents are going to do there. So if their parents, if the children are going to see the parents talking, then better leave the kids at home. The, yes, that is why rabbis give out candy. Also, because rabbis like people to like them. If they could give candy to adults, they would do that too.
Did people in those times not bring their kids for other things? Like, let's say, like, they were going with Olaf, Regel, or whatever.
Yeah.
Did they not bring them for this unique...
Yes, Aliela Regel was...
That were bringing kids, and normally we didn't bring the kids to the...
Often not. Yeah, often not. That's correct. Right, women did not necessarily go for Aliela Regel.
So it's also a question on the women that were...
Well, they're saying because the women need to learn it also. It's, you know, for them it's a learning process as well. The Gemara talks about that. Ibn Ezra argues that Hakel is educational, right? It's not just about love of Torah, but you're actually learning something. So maybe having curious children at Hakel will inspire them to inquire and learn. And that's Ramban's view. It's a learning experience, not just love, but it's a learning thing. But I had another idea, which I thought might be worthwhile to consider here. Shemitah is a period when the rules of society stop functioning, right? All the fences around the field have openings in them so that anybody can just come in and take. The truma and meiser that you normally give to support the Kohanim and Leviim are neglected. You don't give truma, you don't give meiser. The whole relationship between employer and employee is now severed because the farmers are now just sitting around. They're not working their fields anymore. They're not hiring people to work in their fields. The avadim, well, avadim not necessarily, scratch it, it's yovel. The loans are forgiven and forgotten during, the end of Shemitah. And this can be a really healthy thing for a society, because what happens is, when you have that break from the normal rules, people can actually find the rules now are reinforced for them. Like, I saw what it's like without it, and now we go back to it. There's sociologists talk about that. So here, after that, so to speak, vacation from the law, we reinforce it by having everybody get together, and the king is going to read to them from Sefer Devarim, and the sections that we read include the sections that specifically are about this sort of thing. So the sections that we read, if you were to look at the Mishnah and Sota, I didn't bring it on the sheet, are about the fundamentals of what we're supposed to believe, about believing the Nevi'im, that kind of thing. The tithes that are given to the Kohanim, to the Levi'im, to the Aniim, to the needy. It's about the monarchy. It's about the bris at the end of Sefer Devarim. Those are the things that they're going to hear. The adults are going to hear read. And we commit ourselves to the national structure, starting with the Melech. And maybe bringing the children reinforces that for the kids. They're too young to comprehend the reading, but they understand. Everybody got together to hear that person read from the Torah. You know, it's a way to create a lasting appreciation for the honor of the government and the institutions of society.
Reconditioning.
Sorry?
Like reconditioning.
Yeah, I think it is. And not so different from what we do on Yom Kippur. right? I mean, the gathering, first of all, on Rosh Hashanah, obviously. But then from Yom Kippur till the following Rosh Hashanah, there's very little in our lives that explicitly declares Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. We'd like to think our davening does. We'd like to think our mitzvos do. But there's not that moment when society gets together to say Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. That's what you're doing at the end of Yom Kippur. We take that time for everybody to gather with an explicit aim of declaring Hashem Melech on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem Elokim on Yom Kippur. And hopefully that then carries forward for us into the year.